Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of The Winning Agenda. Tonight, our panellists include runner-up for both the 2014 Melbourne Regionals and the 2014 Australian Nationals, Liam Prasad.
Morning, everyone. How are we doing?
2014 Australian National Champion and 2014 World Top 16 competitor, Jesse
Marshall. Hello.
And I'm Brian Holland, 2014 Australian Nationals Top 8 competitor. We thought we'd start the discussion tonight with a segment on consoles. There's a lot of talk about consoles all the time, about, you know, which ones are good, which ones are playable, and we thought we'd sort of just break it down, talk about each one individually and the advantages and disadvantages thereof. So we're going to start with all the consoles from the Anarch faction. The first console we're going to speak about is Deep Red. It's Install 2, Influence 1, plus 3 MU. Use the MU on Deep Red only for Kesa programs. Whenever you install a Kesa program, you may trigger its click ability without spending a click. Limit one console per player. Liam, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, Deep Red is obviously quite tailored towards the Kesa, or the Kasia, the chess programs themselves, be that. And its ability there to make them more efficient, I think, is quite strong in decks where you're looking to use those programs. Even just in a deck where you're looking at using a few Knight as a breaker, maybe for large code gates or for large sentries, I quite like the ability to bring them in with an SMC or bring them in with a clone chip or even a retrieval run, and then use the ability of Knight to host it on ice immediately.
A lot of people enjoy using this card for the Overmind interaction as well. It's the cheapest way that you can get such a big memory boost. It's got an excellent credit install cost to memory boost ratio.
Yeah, and at one influence, there are more and more reasons that you want to have a lot of unused mem. Even something like Sage, which has extra strength for each memory. If you want it to be an aggressive Shaper deck playing Sage, playing Knight, Deep Red's probably a good console to test out. I'm not sure about the strength of it in particular, but it makes sense to me just as a thing.
It's got its own unique place in the game, and it certainly can fill a role that few other cards can fill. We've now got Mem Strips as well that gives you a similar boost to memory for the same credit cost. I think the other thing that's worth mentioning about this card is that there is room for the designers to release a King and Queen card to complete the chess suite, which could add some extra power to this console and to the suite more generally.
The next card we're going to talk about is Eco Mind. Install 2, Influence 3. Your memory limit is equal to the number of cards in your grip. Jesse, why is this pretty bad?
The fact that there are core decks that are designed to interact with the runner's hand size means that if you play this card, you are actually putting yourself at risk of losing your entire rig, not only to program destruction, but also to damage. So if they don't have a way of increasing their maximum hand size, a person only has a maximum hand size of 5, they will only have a maximum memory limit of 5. So this is giving you plus 1 memory, essentially, only if you have maximum cards in hand. If a corp manages to do you 2 or 3 damage and you have 5 memory worth of programs in play, you're immediately going to have to trash a number of those programs equal to the damage you've taken, or a number of memory units worth of programs extra damage you've taken. Even if you do have a way, then, if we extrapolate to possibly a more likely situation where you do have a way of increasing your hand size, the fact that you would only be playing this if you were planning on going up to that new maximum memory limit, or at least close to it, that you get from increasing your hand size, means that still, at that point, any damage that you take, particularly any significant damage from a Scorched Earth or a traffic accident, or even from an Argus security, or a Kamainu, is going to significantly impact upon the number of programs you have in play and force you to trash something.
Yeah, personally, I think this breaks that sort of unwritten rule that if you're a corp playing Scorched, you only really want to play the card Scorched if it's going to kill the runner. But if I were playing Scorched and my opponent's got an Eco Mind and I've got an opportunity to, you know, Scorch them but also get rid of 3 of their programs, I'll probably do it.
It turns your Scorched Earth into Archers as well, which is pretty sweet.
The next card is Grimoire. It's the oldest Anarch console we've got. Install 3, Influence 2, plus 2 memory. Whenever you install a virus program, place 1 virus counter on that program. Does this have use outside of decks like Noise?
Definitely. As far as being a console that gives you memory that you don't need to spend on viruses, it's quite good. Even just in decks that are happy to play Data Sucker or Parasite, which you usually are if you're an Anarch. It gives those cards a lot of reach. It saves you a lot of tempo on things like putting a Parasite on a next Silver or a Kamainu. Even a 2-strength piece of ice, you know, you can play your Parasite and then run with your Data Sucker immediately without having to charge them up at all, because they both came down with a virus counter. And I think that's quite a good ability, because when you run for Data Sucker counters, the opportunity cost of that run is usually very high. So unless you're doing something else, maybe with bad publicity and a personal workshop, those data sucker counters are usually quite expensive. So getting
one specifically in Anarch here, of course, where you're more likely to play Grimoire, yeah?
Well, if you're not playing Grimoire, the data sucker counters are quite expensive.
Well, I mean, is that true though? If you're outside of Anarch, data sucker counters aren't that expensive in Criminal, where you're wanting to make runs anyway, right?
Oh, you've got them with data sucker. You've got data sucker security testing, and Desperado in Criminal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So everything is tailored towards that run being very strong. You could even use something like Sneakdoor Bather or Gabriel Santiago. But there are lots of ways in which that run is going to get you a lot of value. But in Anarch, those effects just usually aren't there to stack up so readily to make one run a turn a fantastic thing. It's not like your EL Kit Peddler, where one run a turn is where you want to be. Or it's not like your Edward Kim obviously wants to have the capacity to trash something quite often, so he wants to make accesses. So the cost of making that run for the Data Sucker token is relatively low. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the comparative advantage of generating Data Sucker tokens or generating virus tokens on just your viruses in general.
It's worth noting that the cost of getting a virus counter can vary from having to wait a turn for Parasite without using Data Sucker, obviously. So you're gaining quite a significant amount of tempo there. Spending a click for Crypsis, saving a click is pretty valuable. Something like Medium, you're saving a successful run. And even Data Sucker, as you get later into the game and it gets more expensive to get in, or perhaps you can't get in without having a Data Sucker counter, the ability of Grimoire to give Data Sucker a counter when it comes into play can be the difference between you being locked out of service completely and not. So yeah, Grimoire's ability is certainly very powerful.
The next card is Spinal Modem. Install 4, Influence 2, plus 1 memory, 2 recurring credits. Use these credits to pay for using icebreakers. Whenever there is a successful trace during a run, suffer 1 brain damage. Do we think that that's just a little flavor thing, or is it something to counteract the potential power of this card? Personally, I think if they thought the card was going to be quite powerful, they've already costed it at 4. So what do you guys think?
The brain damage drawback is certainly interesting. I think this fits into a group of Genesis Cycle cards that I sort of looked at and thought, why have they put this extra drawback on this card? It's not that powerful to begin with. Like, it's not overpowered, it's just good, and yet it has this drawback that makes it actually pretty risky or pretty bad. Now, that being said, there are a lot less traces in the game going on now, I would say, than at that time. And it's certainly easier for runners to deal with traces now than it used to be, because runners have more efficient icebreakers and are usually able to break trace subroutines on most things more easily than they were in the Genesis Cycle days. So the drawback is not huge and probably is less relevant than it was then. And the benefits are quite good. Plus 1 memory is very useful for Anarchs, and 2 recurring credits for icebreakers is quite a significant economy, and that's 2 cyber feeders really that you've got going on there. You're paying for 2 cyber feeders, you're getting a memory as well for free, but you're getting this drawback of the brain damage, and it's your console. So I don't know, it might be good enough, but it doesn't feel powerful enough to justify having that drawback.
Brian, I actually feel like this card is better in decks that do run bad pub or links, just because, you know, those traces are quite severe. That cost is quite severe on your traces. A lot of traces come up on cards where we're going to see in traps. And incidentally, just the way it's costed and this actual effect, putting them into icebreakers, and then the risk of running into a trace on something you can't break, means that this card normally comes down after your rig has been developed and is much better with icebreakers that actually can be increased in strength, icebreakers you can put that credit into. It goes best with Crypsis though, but then Crypsis wants to go with Grimoires.
Last Anarch console is Vigil. Install 2, Influence 2, plus 1 memory. When your turn begins, draw 1 card if the Corp has cards in HQ equal to his or her maximum hand size. We did speak about this a little bit during our Order and Chaos discussion, and I think where we sort of landed was these kind of cards are sort of very easy for the Corp player to play around. Has that changed at all?
Yes, I think it's gotten easier for the Corp to play around this effect. Just in a lot of my testing recently, I've been finding with the introduction of more aggressive Corp styles that might not actually want to play, this is going to sound sacrilegious, but that might not want to play Jackson Howard Jackson Howarth is a very mid-range orientated card in aggressive corp decks that don't want to play it, maybe looking at something like Argus Security. There are less opportunities you'll find that the corp wants to end up on five cards. So I think they've actually it's actually gotten easier for the corp to play around this effect.
If this was a corp effect that you got a bonus when the runner was at maximum hand size, then there would be it would be a lot more relevant because runners corps have a way to threaten runners who aren't at maximum hand size, but runners only have a limited way of threatening corps who aren't at maximum hand size, and it relies on them actually having agendas in hand and the runner knowing about that, and it's all a bit convoluted. So it's just not that powerful an effect.
First criminal card we're talking about is Blackguard. Install 11, influence 2, plus 2 memory. Whenever you expose a card, the corp must res it by paying its res cost, if able. Now, we've talked about cards being costed due to their power level. Do we think that 11 credits is worth this effect?
When this card first was spoiled, I was reasonably excited, like everyone else. There weren't a lot of consoles in the game. It seems like a pretty powerful effect. Tried building a deck around it. It is awful. It is actually so bad.
Is that based purely on the effect or the cost?
Oh, the cost. Like, the card's good.
Yeah.
But paying 11 is just so bad. And it relies on... It doesn't actually do anything by itself. Like, when you're paying 11 for something, you want it to be quite powerful in and of its own. In and of itself, but the fact that there are so few expose effects in the game means that you need to be running suboptimal cards most of the time to get this effect off, or snitch is fine with this, right? But you need to draw your snitch and have this in play, and have snitch in play, and be making runs before you can really do anything with the deck, and you need to have built up to a huge number of credits before you can even get there. So it's so slow, so grindy, doesn't actually do anything, and even when you spend your 11 and put this down, you slam it on the table, and it does absolutely nothing, it feels awful.
Yeah, I'm not usually one to question design, but I think putting the 11 credit stamp on that, they've either got something planned down the road that they thought would be very overpowered.
The card, obviously, just clarifying on what Jesse means by it doesn't do anything. I mean, we usually play cards that either increase our economic advantage or improve our economy or allow us to make runs and access cards as runners. And the fact is, this doesn't let you do either unless you count the two memory. But you can get that memory anywhere. You can, in fact, get it at the cost of one credit.
Yeah, so instead of 11, so. It could be two ones, and you could just play one Akamatsu Manship and then the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing we talk about when we say the card doesn't do anything is that it doesn't have like a proper effect that does something by itself. It requires you to do other things in order to trigger it, which I think makes it more difficult to play.
And then it comes back to that synergy versus power argument. Is this better than just any other Crim console? And the answer is definitely no.
Is it even in the same ballpark as Box E or Logos? No, it's not.
The next card is Box E. Install 4, influence 1, plus 2 memory. Your maximum hand size is increased by 2. Shieldsy, what do you think of this one?
Box E, actually, I quite like it. I think it certainly has a place. Its place is often very finicky, just because runners don't want to necessarily get into this position where they need to hold on to so many restrictive cards that their hand size is a relevant factor. They don't really want to get... it increases your hand size to 7, which doesn't protect you by itself against double scorch. So it's just worth pointing out that this maximum hand size increase actually is not relevant when it comes to being flatlined, unless it's by something like personal evolution. But, you know, two memory is a good effect, and we're happy to pay 4 for two memory. We see it on the comparable Shaper card, two memory for 4 credits. Increasing your maximum hand size is a fine effect if you're playing lots of restrictive cards that require timing. So, you know, looking at Silverware, I actually tested this in my Valencia deck that played a lot of Silverware because they were so restricted. Silverware and Blackmail together, you often want to go to discard, and you needed those extra hand size. It suffers from problematic timing effects because the memory is not relevant until your entire rig is set up, but the hand size is relevant as soon as you start drawing those cards, and you can't set up your rig without drawing those cards. So it has some timing issues, but at one influence, I think it has the capacity to see a lot of play in very particular styles, and I'm glad it exists.
Liam, you and I had a discussion recently about playing this type of card in a particular deck, and the discussion we sort of came to was, is the fault perhaps with the construction of your deck that you need that extra hand size because so many of the cards in your deck are inflexible? Do you think that, like, Box E is a fine answer there? Like, because I thought that discussion we had was quite interesting.
Yeah, I certainly am a proponent of preventing your issues rather than solving them in strange ways.
The cards we were talking about were Day Job and like the Silverware, Liberated Accounts, and cards that are fairly inflexible.
Yeah, definitely.
And that you end up just discarding because you can't have more than five cards in your hand because you haven't been able to use them.
It depends on what kind of deck you actually want to play, right? Like if you want to play a quite aggressive list, if that's your preferred playstyle, then yeah, you're not going to want to play cards like Liberated Accounts and Day Job that are incredibly restrictive, that lean themselves more into a mid-range kind of style where you accumulate credits and then start doing something down the line. And yeah, this boxy kind of effect is probably fine there. If you want to play a mid-range deck, you're probably going to look at boxy at some point. I personally don't like that kind of style. I find that it's quite not tedious. I just don't find it's flexible enough or proactive enough.
If you're playing this purely to stop yourself from getting your hand clogged up with cards that are only useful in limited situations, then that's probably something that you should think about in terms of the way you've constructed your deck. But if you're playing this to as a way of trying to put yourself out of the range of some damage decks or allow you, for instance, against Personal Evolution, if you're finding that it's too hard to make runs and you're creating too many windows for them because on turns you run things, you want to have six or seven cards in hand rather than starting with five and having to spend your first two clicks clicking up, you could have a boxy in play. A way of solving problems in the metagame which involve you needing to have six or seven cards in hand, then it's a good card to play. But if you're playing it just to be able to stockpile situational cards in your hand, that you should probably think about whether you want to be playing those cards in the first place.
Next card is Desperado. 3 cost, 3 influence, plus 1 memory. Whenever you make a successful run, gain 1 credit. Do we think this card is insane?
No, I mean, I think you get enough of a benefit anyway from making a run. Like, you probably want to be accessing cards, or maybe you get a data suck account, or even if you're not accessing cards, maybe you are siphoning them and taking money anyway, or you're using a bank job or a security testing to replace the access. So why on earth you would be wanting to gain more credits when you can already do that for making a run? I don't know. Like, just seems superfluous to me.
Yeah, superfluous is certainly the way I would describe Desperado. Like, we already have the ability to gain credits at a good rate, one click per credit. You already have so many cards that let you gain credits just from your cards, like Sure Gamble ends up in every deck. Cards like Bank Job and Siphon give you such a good
credit. Yeah, you don't want to be wasting your console slot on money, do you?
Yeah, and only one mem. Like, the thing is, if you're putting a rig together with Keyhole or with Sneak Door Beta, that one memory often isn't good. Or Paintbrush, yeah. That one memory is often not going to be enough. And look, like, it's still a weaker effect than just playing Gabriel Santiago. So, you know, Gabriel wants to play Sneak Door, so why would he want to play Desperado as well? He needs a second memory, is what I'm saying. Because otherwise that rig is just never going to come together. You have to choose between Data Suckers and Lampreys or actual breakers. So
yeah, this rabbit hole is way too deep now. Desperado is insane. you should definitely play it.
Moving on.
Doppelganger. Install 3, influence 2, plus 1 memory. Once per turn, you may immediately make another run when a successful run ends. I actually really like this card. I wish there was a build where it was good, but despite everything that was just said, I think a lot of the time Desperado is still just better.
Yeah, I mean, I actually use this card in my decks really quite a lot. because I like to have multiple decks built while I'm testing, and usually my 3 Desperados are tied up in other decks, so I need some proxies, and Doppelganger is an excellent proxy for Desperado. It looks similar, you know, it's a blue console, cost 3, so yeah, it's very, very useful.
Shilzy, do you have any opinion about the actual functionality of the card?
I agree, like, it's a strong effect, and Desperado giving you an extra credit every turn is actually a very comparable effect. In my games, the games I really fully utilize Desperado and the games I definitely dig for it and install it are the games where I need to check all these extra remotes. When they've got all these remotes just barreling out of their hand, and I need to check them one by one by one to make sure that none of them are agendas, or else they'll just kill me. Desperado is insanely good because it actually lets me compress my clicks and generate economy while I'm doing that. Doppelganger actually offers a similar effect, albeit weaker, and that's where the problem arises. The fact that it's so restrictive, it's once per turn, it's hard to make that run again on a central server, because maybe you're running something like Crypsis, or it's just so hard to keep that many credits lined up to make 2 runs in a row. without going so low that you offer them a scoring window. So all these little things about its restrictiveness stack up and just make it less flexible than Desperados.
There's a really interesting point there, you know, in terms of that comparison that we can possibly delve into in a future episode, which is about the flexibility and timing of when you get the benefit from your effects, because the flexibility and timing of when you get the credit from Desperado is just so important in how it helps you to build your game and how it stops them from getting scoring windows. So I think we can, yeah, cover that at a future time, but it's a really good point.
You will never see this card played over Desperado just because it's that much more restrictive.
I think it's got some capacity to be played when you just want twice the fun. The next card is Logos.
Something worth doing is worth doing twice, right?
The final criminal console is Logos. Install 4, influence 2, plus 1 memory. Your maximum hand size is increased by 1. And whenever the corpse scores an agenda, you may search your stack for a card and add it to your grip. Shuffle your stack. I actually don't hate this card, but at the same time, I really hate this card. What do you think, Jesse?
I actually genuinely, sorry for anyone who's confused after my calling Doppelganger fantastic, but I actually really quite like this card. The fact that its ability lets you tutor or search your deck for a card without having to reveal it to the corp is certainly relevant, because that is information that you're not revealing. So that's one thing. Its second thing is it's got three abilities, essentially. It gives you the memory, it gives you an extra maximum hand size, and it's got this very powerful tutoring effect. So three abilities on a console is a good place to be. Two of them are relevant immediately, being the memory and the maximum hand size. And the other one is relevant generally when you need it, when the corpse scoring an agenda is generally when you're going to be placed under some pressure and being able to, because you're worried about them scoring the next one, and being able to go and get any card you need from your deck at that point is a very powerful ability. So I quite like this card. It suffers from being in the same faction as Desperado, but it is a really good card, I think.
The first Shaper card is Astrolabe. Install 1, influence 2, plus 1 memory. Draw 1 card whenever the corp creates a server. I think similarly to Vigil, this is one of those cards that's easy for the corp player to play around. Do you agree, Shilzy?
No, I think it's less easy to play around than Vigil.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Players need to make remotes. They need to play their cards, right? Like, the corp needs to find ways
But the difference is there, if you've already got one remote, maybe you take Bite the Bullet and install the Jackson into the remote with your Sansan in the meantime, as opposed to making that extra server or something like that.
There are ways,
right,
that they can deny you maybe 3 or 4 cards throughout the game, just because of the fact they have a choice.
But at the same time, they need to play differently to do that. I mean, there's not necessarily a strict advantage to them doing it this way. They need to maybe use their Jacksons ahead of time so they can try scoring off that Sansan, or maybe overwrite their Adonis campaign so that they can put their agenda into that remote, or put the Jackson back into the remote.
Or maybe they don't draw a card off their Nereith Hub ability because they score the Astro through the server with ice rather than a new remote. And that's a small benefit.
I think the fact that it costs 1 and is in Shaper, it makes it much better than Vigil.
The next Shaper card is one we haven't actually had a chance to play with yet. It's Comet. Install 4, influence 2, plus 1 memory. And the very interesting ability is the first time you play an event each turn, you may play another event without spending a click after the first one resolves. Jesse, do you like this effect?
The ability to compress your clicks, as we talked about last week, is something extremely powerful. And Shaper decks, there's already a very strong archetype, a tier 1 archetype, that tries to play as many events as possible using prepaid voice pad and Kate's ability. Being able to slot Comet in there, perhaps play a Shore Gamble. Either way, if you're playing a lot of events and you're trying to gain, using prepaid voice pad, marginal incremental advantage every time you play an event economically, then this just plays into that perfectly, and it allows you to gain additional marginal incremental advantages along the way, giving you greater efficiency across the game, which is good.
I think there's also something to be said, the possibility of this console maybe propping up in Ken Tenma, you know, in the deck where you're already running plenty of run events, like to play an event that gives you a run, like a powerful effect like that, to and then also potentially be able to play another one in the same click, could be quite powerful, but we'll see where things go.
Events are certainly very flexible, so like depending on exactly what your kind of deck wants to do, that this can definitely see a lot of play. And just in Ken as well, like I think Jesse, a lot of your early Ken lists that we did quite enjoy played like Quality Time. So being able to Quality Time and then just straight into a Dirty Laundry, fantastic. At 2 influence as well, yeah, it's quite a good deal.
And you can also play it for free with a modded Incate, which is nice as well.
Yeah. Which is fantastic.
The next Shaper card is Dinoceros. Install 5, influence 2. Dinoceros can host a single non-AI Icebreaker. The memory cost of the hosted Icebreaker does not count against your memory limit. The hosted Icebreaker gets plus 2 strength.
I do quite like the ability to host Icebreakers against their memory limit. So it's quite flexible in that regard. If you host something like Torch on it or Morningstar on it, you save both of those memory. So yeah, insert on a list that want that particularly large Icebreaker to be very effective. Yeah, it's perfect. Which is why we saw it in Riel decks, right?
Yeah, and if we ever see some 3-memory program, then yeah, Dinoceros, get around him. Yeah.
The next unplayable card we've got here is Monolith. Install 18, influence 3, plus 3 memory. When you install Monolith, install up to 3 programs from your grip, lowering the install cost of each by 4. Trash a program from your grip, prevent 1 brain or net damage. Now, similarly to when we spoke about Blackguard, do we think that the multiple effects that you get from this card are worth the investment of 18 credits?
Yeah, this card's pretty awful. Like, I think I've had it played against me once, and it was off a personal workshop, and like my opponent like spent a few turns gaining some credits and investing into his personal workshop, and I was doing my thing, and then he installed the Monolith and installed a couple of programs, and then I won a couple of turns later because he'd spent so much time getting his Monolith together. Now, that's a story, and you know, anecdotes are all good, but if we just want to analyze the raw sort of numbers in this card and conceptualize some situations where we think it could actually be good, gee, I really can't think of many. 18 credits.
Eureka off the top after you've used Oracle Maid. No, it's
Oracle Maid trashes the card. It either trashes it or draws it, right?
All right, so you're trash unless you've named
yeah,
console.
So hardware. So in the all hardware deck with Oracle Maid and Eureka, yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Or but in then, the all hardware deck that can in the all hardware deck that can utilize Monolith.
Yeah. I mean the sweet combo, right, is that you can go Stim Hack. And then you can spend your SimHack money on your personal workshop, and then this comes into play. And then you can trash a program from your group to prevent the brain damage from SimHack.
You're also having to have more programs in hand, so more inflexible cards in hand, which brings us back to the Box E problem. Considering this card gives you memory, and you want memory late, but you want all these cards in hand throughout the entire game, you're going to need to find a way to solve that problem as well. So unless you're four programs in play are like Origami, and then you've got these extra 3 memory for the programs you're installing later, I just don't see this being a thing that people do.
The last console we're talking about is the Toolbox. Install 9, influence 2, plus 2 memory, plus 2 link, 2 recurring credits. Use these credits to pay for using Icebreakers.
When I opened up my core set, I built a Shaper deck first, and I was so excited whenever I drew this card. I was like, oh, it's the one of, it's the console, it's sweet. Once you get it in play, it just gives you sweet tempo. Well, not sweet tempo, it gives you a really smooth game for the rest of the game. But that 9 install cost is just far too high. I think they seriously miscalculated in terms of the design of this card versus Desperado and the cost versus the benefit that it gives you over the course of the game. The 2 recurring credits from this are not necessarily even equivalent to the credits that you gain from Desperado. You can gain more quickly from Desperado and gain more flexible credits from Desperado than you gain from this. The link is not hugely relevant. While it is good, it's not something that you would be willing to pay credits for early in the game. And the 2 memory versus 1 memory is not a huge difference. So paying 9, I mean, if this costs 6, you might think about playing it, but even then, it compares so unfavorably to Desperado that I would consider still paying 3 influence for Desperados instead of playing this. So, yeah.
I think there is a big difference between plus 1 mem and plus 2 mem, particularly in Shaper, where you do have things like self-modifying code, and where you do want to host extra programs like Parasite. So you're looking at a lot of different ways to spend your influence and memory here, and I think the 6th is actually relevant a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not relevant. I'm just saying, how much do you want to pay for it? I don't think it's this much.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it's also good in Shaper because your programs are those scaling types. They're the pumping types. So you actually do get to spend those credits a lot. You know, so it certainly requires a very different style to Desperado decks that want to run over and over again. But, you know, the Toolbox is a fine card. If you're going to run once a turn, if you're going to have those extra links so that you can just power straight through traces.
Yeah, but it's the fact that it locks you into running once a turn, right? Compared to Desperado, which is so flexible because if you run once a turn, you get a benefit. If you run four times a turn, you get four times the benefit. This, if you run once a turn, you get a decent benefit, but if you run more, you're getting nothing. And paying more credits for a less flexible card is just awful.
It's certainly flatter. But one thing we've seen from Shapers, I think, as they've been developed, is that Shapers do lend themselves better to mid-range or controlling strategies where they're happy to use something like Professional Contacts multiple times in a turn, or do something like play a Test Run and a Scavenge, taking up two of the clicks in a turn. So like the fact that your clicks in Shaper tend to be much more restricted in how you want to use them means that this restriction actually balances out quite a lot, because it's two credits for the one run.
Sorry, Brian, I just want to say one more thing. Like, I think that's an interesting discussion, because the Shaper decks that are more controlling, I maintain that it's extremely important for them to have the capacity to run, which is the main reason that I play Desperado. You have to be able to threaten the corp. You can't just let them know that you're going to be sitting back there and that's what you want to be doing. You have to have the ability to switch to a different mode if you want to. And if a deck that's playing the toolbox does that early before they have played the toolbox, then they're going to struggle to get up to 9 to even play it. And if they're stockpiling credits to play the toolbox to then have slightly more flexible runs once a turn, they're going to be waiting so long that they've given the court windows, and even once they have got there, they're only going to be able to run once a turn, so they can't check HQ and R&D, they can't check remotes and centrals on the same turn. It's so inflexible across every phase of the game, there's not really a point at which it settles into being more powerful than Desperado.
That's all we have time for tonight. If you want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email at thewinningagenda@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Winning Agenda, or check us out on Facebook. Our like page is The Winning Agenda. We also just wanted to give another shout out to Games Laboratory for sponsoring our recent What Lies Ahead data pack competition. If you're ever down in Melbourne, definitely go check the Games Laboratory. It's an excellent play space with...
Yeah, it's the only store in Australia with a... liquor license. So if you want to head down there, especially on Thursdays here in Melbourne, we do a Thursday casual night and people just head down there and have a beer and play some Netrunner. It's perfect.
All right, until we see you next week, guys. Bye bye.
Take it easy.